Well, you look good. Most of you do, anyway. You come to listen to somebody had any school and you come to the wrong place. I'm just an old country boy. Been saved by the grace of God on my way to heaven tonight. Realizing I believe we're running out of time. Too many people trying to straddle a fence, and there's no fence to straddle. You might say, well, I think I'm saved. Let me help you out. I'll correct you on that. If you think you're saved, you're not saved. Because it's a no-so salvation. But I tell you, there's too many people playing church. And you know, I'm just an old country boy. But I felt the Lord call me to preach, and I've been trying my best. And I feel that I've got to sound the alarm, and even more in this hour in which we live. You know, Satan's got a lot of things. The disciples came to Jesus and said, show us some of the signs of you coming back. And the very first thing he told them, take heed lest no man deceive you. People think they can live any way that they want and make it. That's not right. People think that they can just dabble in sin and when they stand before and literally look you right in the face and say, I'm ready to go. Let me tell you, if you got sin in you, no sin's going to enter in. You might say, well, that was the message in the 70s. Let me tell you, if it was the message in the 70s, it's still the message. Because God is a God that changes not. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. We like to compromise on something that's non-compromisable. You're either in or you're out. Jesus said this. I hear that. The Bible says this in two places in the book of Proverbs. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways are death. You hear what I'm telling you? Satan's got a counterfeit. And if you don't know what the book says, you can think that you're gone, but you're headed to destruction. Hell was not created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels. But if we don't get our heart right with God, that's exactly where we're going. Do you know that the Lord talked more about hell than he did about heaven? I believe this. Listen, this book right here will teach us to live. It'll prepare us to die. You got to realize what I'm telling you. One of these days, we're going to stand before God. We're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account of our life. People say, well, you know, this is what I'm going to tell him. I want you to hear me. I tell you, we stand before, I don't know if he'll allow us to speak or not. On judgment day, I don't know if we will, if he allows it, then maybe we will. But I'll tell you one thing, you will not be tooting your own horn. Think about it, standing before God himself, and he's going to open the books. And one of the books he is going to open, I believe, is going to be that Word of God. But here's the book. Listen, he's going to open it up. It's going to be the book of life. And you hear what I'm telling you? If we, the Christians will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, but the sinners will stand at the white throne judgment. He's not going to open the book up, you know, and say, well, let me see if you made it. Yep, you made it. No, you didn't. He knows our heart. When we leave this, if we leave this world with God in our heart and Jesus Christ as our Savior, you can rest assured when we step on the other side, he'll still be our Savior. But if we leave here, there's no halfway spot. You can't pull off the side road and think, boy, what they said was right. If you leave here lost, you're going to stand before God lost. And what did he say? If it would be nice if we could, I'll get to where I'm going. Yeah. Doggone it. I was preaching on Windy Ridge one night and I was driving across 53. And I told Miss this, is I could take you almost to the spot. I said, I could preach what I'm supposed to preach in one sentence. She said, yep, but you won't do that. Don't better not run your engine without oil. You'll blow it up. I just like to get things oiled up good before I preach. I don't want to blow up. But I tell you, it's a serious thing. But it's good to know, this world is, everywhere you look, there's chaos. People going into schools and killing innocent, it just blows my mind. I'm not here to, that's just absolutely not right. It's a crazy world, but hear what I'm telling you. I know my Redeemer liveth, and after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Listen, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow, and it's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Listen, that takes away the sin of the world. And I tell you, we need to get in. He done something for us that we could not do for ourselves. Everybody, listen, we all come from the same, could I say, you understand me, but we all come from the same patch of ground. I'll follow that. I know somebody think, what the world are you talking about? I'll tell you. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every last body in here needed a Savior. And Jesus, listen, it is more, we see the pictures of Jesus on the cross where there's a little bit of blood down the forehead, out the hands, and out the feet. Brother Enoch, that was not the way that it was. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Christ that his visage was so marred, he was beaten beyond recognition. That cat of nine tails driven deep in, and ripped the flesh clear off of him. They pulled, listen, and Pilate said, behold the man. It was nothing more than raw hamburger, I believe the best way to describe it. Awful. And it was more than taking my sin and your sin. When Jesus went to the cross, he became sin. You missed a good place to shout. I'll just be honest, you help me, you shout, I won't preach near as long. But you don't shout, I think you need some more preaching. That just blows my mind. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And one day, listen, I was sitting in the back seat of a little country church, and I had a visitor show up at my heart. Listen, I tell you, the world cannot convince me, but the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, he was knocking on my heart, and I knowed I was lost. Was I in the drugs? No. Was I in the alcohol? No. But nevertheless, I was lost and on my way to hell, and God came down, knocked on my heart, and the best way I knew how, I opened my heart and let him come in. Amen. And I plan on finishing the trip. Well, brother, you know, a lot of people out there preaching, once you got it, you got it. Let me tell you what the book, can I tell you what the book says? It's in 2 Timothy, I think it is, that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. I say, if you got it, keep it. I tell you, I hear that. Yes, I hear that. In John 10:10, Jesus came. Let me say this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. Amen. I'm talking on this side of the grave. Satan is a pickpocket. That's why some of you don't testify no more. Hello. I'll tell them. Here's what the book says. In Psalms, it says in Psalms 107:2, I think it is, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. And if you've been redeemed and you know everything's all right, you can stand up and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Even, let me tell you, you're going to find it hard to believe, but this is a true statement if I ever told one. I got saved. I went back to church. I'm hurrying. I went back to church. The next service, I know what they was going to ask me. Not me. Asked a whole bunch. Any testimonies? I know there was. I had to be at the guy leading service. Any testimonies out there? And I'm thinking, oh, my land. thought, I got to do it. And I stood to my feet and I froze, and not a word came out my mouth. I just froze. I sat back down. I was on the back seat. My buddy sitting here, he was looking that direction. This buddy seen me. This guy didn't even know I stood up. But this one reached out and shook my hand. But you hear what I'm telling you. God knowed I stood. Listen, and if I couldn't utter a word, I'd want to stand and let the world know whose side that I'm on. Listen, he said that we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Just a putting some oil in the engine. That's all I'm doing. Had a four-wheeler sitting in the building. You understand, I told you I'm just country. I had a four-wheeler sitting in the building. Wouldn't run. It sat in there all summer long. I'm working on it. Won't run. Miss comes over and says, got any gas in it? I said, now you listen to me. Well, I probably didn't talk like that. She put knots on my head. I said, give me a little credit. Short's got gas. Been sitting in there all summer. It's not running. She laughed. I poured gas in that, hit that button, and she purred like a kitten. A lot of people sitting in the house of God, listen to me, that's ran out of gas, and they don't even realize it's taking place. Take heed lest no man deceive you. That's what Jesus said. And there's people that's walking down the road of deception thinking everything's all right. Listen, the only way things is all right, Brother Enoch, if it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, how often do you go? As often as I need to. And for me, well, let me just ask you this. I know what most of you are going to do when you get home. Not going to bed, you'll go to the refrigerator. Most of you. I'll probably be right there with you. Man got a grace before he goes to bed. It's all right. So, all right, I better shut up there. I tell you, we need to eat physically and we need to eat spiritually. And God, let me tell you, God's open 24/7. And could I say something? If you feel the Lord speaking to you and you want to come and pray, you're not right. Listen, you ain't going to bother me a bit. This altar's open. Come and pray. But people are deceived walking down the wrong road. I believe it. God help us. I'm going to tell you something. Every once in a while, we don't like to admit it, but we get off the wrong exit. I've been saved for 30 years. I don't care how long you've been saved. Every once in a while, you get off at the wrong exit, and you're traveling down the road you shouldn't be on. Amen. We think, that's why when you go to the house of God, everybody's getting blessed, and you hang, you think, what's going on? Let me tell you, look where you're at. I need it every day. All right. Mark chapter 10, just for a little bit tonight. Heavenly Father, God, as you're opening the word, I just want to come to you. God, I just want to thank you for everything that you've done. God, thank you for the blessings of life, and thank you for your goodness. God, you know what you've laid upon my heart. God, it's a good-looking crowd tonight, but I ask you, Lord, that you'll look past the outer shell, and God, that you'll look at the heart. God, you know what I need in order to preach. God, I need the anointing of God, and I'd ask you, Lord, that you'd help us, that you'd anoint us. God, that the anointing just wouldn't be on the speaker, God, but the anointing would be upon the congregation. I'd ask you, Lord, that you would shine your spotlight into our heart. God, we need a move. God, individually, Lord, we need a move of God in our life. And God, as a body, just not just Drift One. I'm talking about the body. God, we need a move of God. And I pray, oh God, tonight, God, that you'll just do a work in the hearts and lives of people. Stir us up, Lord. God, we need you. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. old boy was a preaching, and he had a, back before the these kind of mics and the cordless mics, and he had a cord on his. And he was a preaching, going back and forth across the front of the church. And little did he know, he was tying his feet up in that cord. And he's a preaching hard, and after a bit, she drawed tight on him, and he just fell like a tree. People took the shouting all over the place. I say, what it, I heard that. Whatever it takes. You know, but boy, I had to, the thought that's been in my heart the last couple of days, you know what it is? I know when they said it, they was, what's it going to take? Let me tell you something about, can I tell you something about revival? Revival is not a series of meetings. You can have revival all month long. Let me back that up. I even said it wrong. Retract that straight. You can have a series of meetings all month long and not have revival. Amen. Revival is the sovereign act of God. Amen. You know, a lot of times we as Christians even blame God. Well, you know, if we come to the house of God and we sang a few songs, and if, you know, a few of us testify, then God, we have done our part. Now you just unzip heaven and pour your revival spirit out upon, because we have done our part. That's not how God works. But that's the mentality that a lot of people have. There's more to revival than just coming to the house of God. But we kind of, you know, when I got saved and when you got saved, God supernaturally lit a fire in my heart and in your heart. It is not his responsibility. The only responsibility he had was to light that fire that we could not light. Now once he lit it, it is no longer his responsibility to keep it lit. It's ours. You might say, well, can you prove it? I sure can. In 1 Samuel, I think, probably 3:3, Eli was the high priest. And it says that ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of God, where the Spirit of God was. The lamp of God. Listen, it was not God's responsibility. It was Eli's responsibility. He was getting used. If they would turn the lights off right now, you couldn't see nothing. Then in just a minute or two, your eyes would do a change. And you'd be able to see a little bit. Christians nowadays are getting used to the dark. And getting used to the dark is a putting out their light. You might say, well, you said it was the priest's responsibility. That's exactly what it is. You might say, there, it's day's responsibility to keep the fire going. Nope, not according to the word. You might say, you just said the priest. Revelation said this. If we're saved, then we all are kings and priests unto God. It is not day's responsibility to keep the fire and tink lit. It's hers. Listen, and I tell you, we live in a society where it seems like, well, brother, that's not my denomination. Can I go ahead and nip this in the bud? There's only two types of people. You're either saved or you're lost. Forget the denomination. They have put out many a fire. God would help us. That we would grow up just a little bit and realize, I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you paint your hair green or whatever it is. Listen, if you've been, the blood's been applied, then we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I just can't worship with them folks down there at Drift Run. Well, I can. Yeah. Let me tell you, if we can't come together and worship down here, don't expect to go any place else and worship. All right. Mark 10. But I believe with all my heart it is the will of God to pour His Spirit out upon His people. Amen. Revival is not for the faint of heart. If you're wishy-washy, revival is not for you. Just being honest with you. Because when we're honest with God and saying, God, whatever it takes, sometimes that knife goes deep. And the deeper it goes, now hear what I'm telling you, it's going to benefit us, but the deeper it goes, we have a tendency to put it in retreat. But I tell you, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the church is going to be held accountable for the way that we are living. Are we diligently seeking the Lord? Are we? Well, brother, I pray. Do we really, really diligently seek the Lord? When we say, Mossy Oak had this. It's just not a passion, it's an obsession. I believe we need to be, I'll just be honest, I like to turkey hunt in the spring and I like to musky fish. That makes me a pretty good guy, don't it? But you have a passion. And I tell you, but the passion that we all ought to have that links together, we ought to have a passion for loving God and serving God and just worshiping God. Listen, we ought to have a passion to live for Him. God, here we are. Take us and use us. Help us to proclaim Your word. God, just whatever it is that You want us to do, help us to do it. We ought to have that as a common, if I could say, a common factor in our hearts, is that we ought to want to get in the presence of God. And here's the thing, if you want to get in His presence, you can get in His presence. What's it going to take? I believe sometimes he says, I want to be there. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to save you. I want to heal you. I want to do all these things. But we're going so many different directions. We don't even know which way up is. But we come to the house of God on a Wednesday. I tell you, God, here we are. Bless us. Bless me, oh God, here I am. It's not the way He works. He looks past this and sees the heart. Listen, are we seeking Him diligently? The Bible, Isaiah said this, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. I believe there's coming a time when people want to seek Him, but He won't be there. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Did I tell you Mark 10? Mark 10, verse 46. Did you guys know? I'm going to say this. I preached a dedication service right here. Remember that? Woo! Okay. Okay. And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I got to thinking about that. He began to cry out. He's blind. He's blind all his life. And here was how most of his days went, that he sat by the highway side begging. Couldn't go out and earn a dollar. But the only thing he could do was sit by. And, as people no doubt would pass by, they might drop in a couple pieces of money. I don't know. But one day while he was out there begging, he heard something coming up the road. And he asked this question, what is that? What's the canoe that I'm here? They said, somebody probably looked and was his eyes and said, that's Jesus. He said, here come the cry. It didn't come from his lips. This cry come deeper than that. And you hear what I'm telling you. If the cry from down deep inside of your heart, listen, once it starts down here, it'll come out your mouth. And God knows if we're serious or if we're not. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, brother, we live in 2018. Now, we got to be politically correct, and we don't want to offend anybody. Everybody has a right. You know, you're welcome. That's right. They ought to be welcome. I'm going to shoot straight from the hip here. I don't care if they're into porn. You know what I'm talking about? If they come through that door, they ought to be welcome. They should not be singing. They should not be preaching. They should not be, teaching until they get their heart right with God. But I tell you, I don't care. We categorize sin, but from down deep inside, this cry comes from a heart. And I believe it come from the heart of Bartimaeus. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the people said, shh. Hold her down there, buddy. We're trying to have church in the house. I told my buddy today, I said, been a while. I hope they're a lively bunch. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I preached one night. I said, and they got happy. They took the shout. I was preaching hard. I couldn't hear myself preach. I just shut up until they got done. I know you might say, well, that's kind of crazy. You can call it crazy or you can call it whatever. But I like somebody that's excited and that cry is coming from down on the inside and they're crying out. I believe it's time that we, the church, that we cry out, Jesus, we need your mercy. And listen, there's going to be those. I probably guarantee it. You'll be driving home with some of them. I didn't like him at all. I hope Dave don't get him back. You might say, how come it's that? Well, I just the way God wired me. It's just the way that I preach. You can call it whatever you want, but I tell you, it's like a fire shut up in my bones, and I've got to tell people, I've got to relay the message that he's alive. We don't have to shout.
Amen.
Thank you. But the people said, be still. Now, come on. The cry was coming from here. Now, you hear me? We praise the Lord if we praise him from our lips and not our heart. Then it's dead praise. But hear me. Now, I want you to understand when you praise him, I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm good with that. I'm good with this. But I'm also good with this. Wow!
Amen.
Shh. No, I'm not telling the kid. Just, I said, hey, got any trucks? I'll play with you guys a little bit. That's all right, buddy. No, I did not mean that the way that looked. But Bartimaeus did not hush. He cried the second time, the more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And do you know what happened the second time he hollered as he's walking? He hears it. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the King of Kings stood still. He knows if you're serious. And when we get serious, listen, that cry has got to come from a heart. And when we get serious, I believe the Lord says this: I'm headed down the drift run. I just want to pour my, but they just need to do some things. Don't come. A lot of times it's the way that we come. In Acts chapter 3, there was a man, he was laid there. And Peter and John went down to the temple at the hour of prayer. And as they passed by, the old fellow reached out some hands, expecting, and he said, "Hey, silver and gold have I none, but I'll give you what I got." What was it? "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I tell you, you might not have two nickels to give somebody any, but we need to be filled with the same such that Peter and John had. And when somebody is in need, say, "We'll give you what we got." Well, how can you do that? God ain't going to run out. But the second time he hollered, Jesus stopped. Now, keep in mind, Bartimaeus couldn't see him stop. But the second time he hollered, Jesus stopped. "Come here." They said, he's a hollering for you. He jumped up, cast off his garments, and he ran right over to where Jesus was. I got thinking about garments. There's some things in the life of Christians that is separating us between us and the Lord. There's some garments that we are covering up with. Listen, in order to get to Jesus, we're going to have to cast the garments out. What are you talking about? The only way we're going to get to him, we're going to have to get pride out of our life. Listen, I believe this. The Bible says, I believe it's in Proverbs, "These six things do the Lord hate. No, seven are an abomination in time. And the number one thing written down is a proud look." Amen. Pride, listen to me. Pride in the life of a Christian has got to be dealt with. Amen. Pride will callous over every heart. It does us good to do a heart check. Well, let me tell you how this works. You're probably sitting there thinking, "Boy, yeah, this message is for so-and-so." How can I say that? Because, I mean, can I tell you it's the truth? I was a pastor, back when I pastored, sitting over where this sis is, front row on the end, and brother preached. He got done. Now listen to me. This is how God knows you. I did not utter this out my mouth. It did not come out my mouth. I didn't talk silent. I said it in my heart. I know who that's for. That's all. I mean, you know what? The Lord heard that. I didn't say it, but he heard it. And he said, "Yeah, it was for you." He just popped my balloon. You know what? What did I do? I went from there to there. God, have mercy on me. Listen to me. There's a lot of our hearts that are calloused over. I hear that. Samson fell in love with Delilah. Listen, and she said this: "Samson, the Philistines are here." And he jumped up and did not know that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Listen, it's a serious thing. It's not for your neighbor. If God's speaking to you, it's for you. Amen. Can I tell you something? It's as much for me as it is anybody. But the second he said, "Hey, holler, he's a hollering for you." And Bartimaeus ran right over. Blind. Now mind you, he's going by feel, I reckon. I don't know. Just sound. But he's right there. And I believe, as blind as he was, Bartimaeus knowed he was standing right in front of the Lord. Amen. And this next question always baffled me. The Lord knows how many hairs he had on his head. That's in the book. He knows more about you than what you know about yourself. And the Lord's asking this: "What is it you want?" what is it that you have need of? Can I ask you the question? What is it that you have need of? And Bartimaeus said this, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And he just wiped the blindness right out of his eyes. And the first person he saw was Jesus himself.
Amen.
Now, honestly, I believe the Lord says, what is it that you have need of? When my boys was little, when I was little, well, I'm still pretty much the same way. What do you want for Christmas? I'll tell you exactly what I want. It's a bucktail. This is the collar that I want. It's got two spinners or two blades. This is, you know, I'm very specific. Now, you hear what I'm telling you? But a kid at Christmas, they can really, they'll get right down to the collar. I mean, very specific. Let me tell you something. God is a specific God. Amen. Well, brother, I just want you to bless me. Well, can I tell you something? He already did.
Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord.
Because you couldn't have rolled out of bed this morning had not God blessed you.
Amen.
And God's saying, well, I had an older preacher tell me this. I just can't pray for myself. Well, I have no problem with me praying for myself. I'm out there and I said, God, I need you. But what is it that you want? What's it going to take? Can I tell you this? This is a very sad statistic. I have a preacher buddy that's been preaching for 57 years. And he told me something that I was in awe when he got done saying it. You know what he told me? Been preaching for 57 years. I've seen 3 revivals. Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? I want to see one.
Amen.
I don't think I have seen revival in my lifetime yet. But Enoch, it's not the fault of God.
Amen.
Number one, now I'm going to get right down where we live. Number one, people just don't unite together anymore.
Amen.
Jesus said this, you will, now listen to me. I want to be as sensitive as I can because I feel the Lord just doing something right now.
Amen.
Some people are lovable and some people are not so much. But the Lord did not tell us to love them if they're lovable. He said, people will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And you, well, brother, you made me mad 15 years ago. What are you going to say about that? Well, I'm sorry I made you mad. Well, you made me mad. Well, get happy and now because that the people are holding grudges. Something that happened 15 and 20 and 50 years ago and they can't get over it. You hear what I'm telling you? Revival will not come unless every sin, everything is under the blood of Christ. And he said, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember your brother has ought against you, go and be reconciled and then bring your gift. Listen, there's people sitting in the house of God that's a hindering the Spirit of God because you're holding the grudge. You might say, oh, come on, you was preaching good a minute ago. That's the truth of the matter. I want to see a revival. And if it takes, listen, you get a good old dose of God, you'll be saying sorry for stuff that never even happened. Who are we kidding? If I was to ask you, how many of you really want to see a move of God? Can I tell you this? On the day of Pentecost, Peter said this, they're not drunk as you suppose that they are. They was something, when they people looked in there, they didn't see a bunch of people. They didn't see a bunch of stump settlers. They seen some, they literally looked drunk. I don't know what they was doing, but I tell you, people get a good, well, I tell you, they just kind of acting, they're acting strange. I would that everybody would act strange. I would that everybody would get full of the Spirit of God. It's all right. Listen, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Is there hope for America? Yes. Is there hope for the church? Yes. But I tell you, it's not in the White House. It's in heaven and heaven alone.
Amen.
And when the church, can I say it? We have crawfish on the principles of this book. God would help us. Revival will not come if that's the case. I've never seen one. Oh, I've been in some nice meetings. I've been in some. Can I tell you something else? Hope you don't think any less of me. I've got totally free. I'm 50. I don't even know how old I am. 54. I've got totally free one time. Why is that? Well, I reckon I'm just worried too much of what somebody might think and do. You come with me up on my hill at my prayer spot. I didn't kill any squirrels this year, but they sure are saved. I told you this one time, going down the road, Spirit of God just come on you. You're the only one in the truck. Spirit of God, man, just start preaching. I don't know if it happened to any other guys. Any ever happened to you? Just go to preaching. Man, preaching hard. Yes. Woo! Then you realize, who's this for? Then I had that revelation. Now I'm the only one here. Jesus, God can get our attention. And listen to me, church. I'm going to quit. What's it going to take? I believe it's the will of God. I want to send revival to you. But you're going to have to get back to loving. And God knows if you really mean it or if you don't. I'll tell you that right now. You can put on that smile and act like you love Him, but God really knows. This verse of Scripture is quoted a lot at revival. What's it going to take? It's going to take the church to pray. Now, hear what I'm telling you. Some of those prayer meetings lasted all night. You might say, I can't do that. Well, I believe if the Lord would show up, I believe that you'd surprise yourself.
Amen.
But we live in a time now where the church, and I don't want to sound bad, but we say, yeah, we need to pray. But Dave, nobody does it no more. Jesus talked about getting in your prayer closet. I left work at 5:30. Went to Jason's. I said, Jason, I need you to bail me out. I said, I'm preaching. I'm working 10 hours. Cleaned up the outside. Felt last night while I know I felt the Lord wanted me to go. But just because we clean the outside, it's our heart where revival needs to be. It's what's got to be right. And you'll get it right when you go to prayer. But He said, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves. Then He says, pray and seek my face. And I pondered on those for a while. When we pray, you might say, is that not seeking the face of God? Kind of, but seeking His face goes deeper than prayer. Now, I know God is omnipresent, that He can be everywhere all the time. Okay, I can't explain it, but I know it's right. But when we begin to seek His face, then God will direct right in your direction. And He says if they'll humble themselves and pray. I'm talking about not individually, but as a body. If we'll humble ourselves and we will pray and we seek the face of God. There's one more. And turn from our wicked ways.
Amen.
Then I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sin.
Amen.
Can I paraphrase that real quick? Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and repent. Talking to the church, repent. What's it going to take? It's going to take us loving each other. Do you want? Can I ask you, are you bold enough right here? If I ask you, how many of you really and truly want to see a revival? Can I see your hand? Can I? Now, God sees every hand that's lifted. So am I. God says, I want to pour my spirit out, but you're going to have to love. You're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to pray. Jesus went above and beyond for you. And at this time, that song you sang, what's it going to take? Can you sing it again? It's up to you tonight. God knows who was going to be here. God saw every hand that was raised. I want to see it. We're going to open up these altars. It's going to take something on our part. They was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. It's going to take obedience on your part. I'm done. Here was the word. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. It said fill the water pots with water. Didn't understand it, but they filled the water pot, turned them into wine. In 2 Kings chapter 3, they needed water, said, dig this valley full of ditches. You want to see it? It's up to us. God is saying, I so want to bless you. I so want to encourage you. I so want to save you. I so want to help you. But it's up to you. What are you going to do? Tonight I'm done, but I'm asking you, what's it going to take? It's going to take us all. But if God's just speaking to your heart right now, as my brother sings, listen. If you're serious, God's seen your hands. I would that Christians would come and pray and seek His face. Okay? You might have somebody lost in your family. Stand in the gap. Go ahead.